In these hymn sing evenings, we've been doing some great themes of the faith, and the themes that I've chosen are from the front of our hymn book. And the title of this evening's message is Praise and Test Me. Let's ask God's help. Dear Heavenly Father, we do pray that as we look at your word tonight, we would have a response from our lives to praise you, to give testimony to you, to glorify your name. And so that as we come this evening, we pray that you bless our meditation in the word. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, this is meant to be a little bit shorter, and I'm going to try, okay? Silas came from a family of devout Muslims and was sent to a madrasa, a Muslim school. By the time he was in his early childhood years, 5 or 6, both his parents died and he became an orphan. At the age of 7, he learned that he had an incurable disease that was going to send him blind. He continued to study the Quran, to learn the verses of the Quran by heart, and by the time he was 18 years old, he had learnt much of the Quran by heart, and by this time he was also blind. He became known as a Muslim evangelist. He was sent to a village where there had been a mosque, but the parents in that village had started to send their children to a Christian school. He wanted to tackle that situation, and within a year he had totally reversed it so that the parents in that village again were attending the mosque. Could God save a Muslim evangelist like this? Well, one day for morning prayer he chose a verse from the Quran that dealt with the birth of Isa. And Isa is Jesus, yes, that's right. After prayer he debated for a long time with another Muslim about that verse, and he ended up being very confused. He said to his superiors, "If you cannot give the answer that I'm seeking, I'm going to stop studying the Quran." Determined to find answers, Silas decided to speak to a deacon at the local church. And the deacon read to him John 14 and verse 6. Jesus said, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes to the Father except through me." Silas listened, and something within him resonated that this indeed was the truth of God. He turned from Islam. He turned to Christ. Praise God. And he started studying the scriptures. For 3 months, Silas intensively studied the scriptures with a friend. Remember, he's blind, so the friend was reading to him verses from the Bible. He was learning those verses by heart. Soon Silas became known as the blind Christian evangelist, arousing the anger of the Muslims, and they beat him repeatedly, but he continued to testify to the one true and living God. He testified to faith in Christ. Silas still gives testimony and praise to Jesus Christ, no matter what. Wonderful story, isn't it? But I have an even more wonderful story for you in just a little bit. When God does great things for us, it is appropriate that the rest of our lives we render to him praise and testimony. If at all there is any blood-bought believer amongst us, then every one of us has experienced the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ in our lives, haven't we? So no matter how dramatic our salvation, it may not have been as dramatic as Silas. It may not be as dramatic as the one we're going to look at in a bit. No matter how dramatic our testimony, we have great testimony and praise to give to God. We need to be ready to testify. And we need brothers and sisters to be overflowing in praise for our God. In these hymn sings, we've been looking at great themes of the faith. The first time we looked at trust and assurance. And then we looked at aspiration, what's called aspiration in our hymn book, under the heading of a longing for God. And tonight, praise and testimony. I thought of three wonderful testimonies in the scripture. You might try and think through and think what testimonies you would bring up. I thought of Solomon's testimony in the book of Ecclesiastes. It really is, it's called kind of a cultural apologetic, but it's also a testimony of what Solomon had learned from the living God. I thought of Paul's repeated testimony in the book of Acts. And I also thought of Nebuchadnezzar's testimony in Daniel chapter 4. Solomon and Nebuchadnezzar had in common that they were both kings. Nebuchadnezzar and Paul had in common that they both persecuted believers. And the testimony I want to share tonight is that of Nebuchadnezzar. Now, not everyone who considers this story of Nebuchadnezzar in Daniel chapter 4 is absolutely convinced that Nebuchadnezzar was saved. But in the course of this message, I hope that I'm able to give some evidence to you that indeed Nebuchadnezzar was saved. But even if I can't convince you, the Holy Spirit has included Daniel chapter 4 in the Word of God, and whether you are saved or not, it is a great story of praise and testimony to the living God, and something that we can learn from. So the better testimony than that of Silas is surprisingly Nebuchadnezzar. I want to highlight four features of Nebuchadnezzar's testimony and praise for us to learn from tonight. Now, the first features of Nebuchadnezzar's praise and testimony for us to imitate is tell anyone and everyone. Tell anyone and everyone. Chapter 4, verse 1. Nebuchadnezzar the king, to all peoples, nations and languages that dwell in all the earth, peace be multiplied to you. I don't know how you could be any more comprehensive than that. Nebuchadnezzar was a changed man, and he wanted to tell everyone that he had influence over, and he was the emperor, as it were, of the empire. His story, like Ecclesiastes, is calculated to demonstrate that God is the one true and living God. There is nothing in this letter, and he's going to write a letter to these peoples, there is nothing in this letter really to impress you about Nebuchadnezzar. But there is much to give praise and testimony to his God. In fact, Nebuchadnezzar, like Solomon, went through some pretty hard stuff, some pretty bad stuff. And he confesses it all and how God humbled him. Nebuchadnezzar wrote without caring what the peoples of the earth thought of him, but he sought to lift up the Lord. He told anyone and everyone who would listen, and we should too. Now, we have rats in our ceiling. And over two winters, we haven't been able to get rid of them. So we called, this is what he calls himself in the newspaper, the Rat Man. And he came. Pretty rough bloke, as you would expect. And he did get rid of the rats. We have the smell to prove it. In my office, he said, "You've got a lot of books." I said, "Yeah, I'm a pastor. Do you have any spiritual beliefs?" He said, "Well, I'm a member of Alcoholics Anonymous, and I believe that there's a higher power." And so I had much time to spend with him talking about our God, a God of love and a God of power, and specifically pointing to him. But you see, even the rat man, Gary is his name, even Gary had spiritual beliefs. Are you ready to tell anyone and everyone? Don't be afraid of what people will think of you. Go to the scriptures. Read about Christ's death on the cross. See what God has done for you. Let it penetrate your being and give testimony and praise. The second feature of Nebuchadnezzar's praise and testimony for us to imitate is honor God, praise God, and describe God to them. Honor God, praise God, and describe God to them. Verse 2. I thought it good to declare the signs and the wonders the Most High God has worked for me. Nebuchadnezzar honored God. He was telling what God had done for him. He wasn't saying what great things he had done. Verse 3 continues. How great are his signs and how mighty his wonders. His kingdom is an everlasting kingdom, and his dominion is from generation to generation. Now that's pure praise, as good as you might read in any of the Psalms. For example, Psalm 89 and verse 5 says, "And the heavens will praise your wonders, O Lord, your faithfulness also in the assembly of the saints." And at the end of verse 3, that verse that I've just read, he describes the sovereignty of God, he extols God's sovereignty. And remember this is from a formerly pagan king. And he writes at the end of verse 3, his kingdom is an everlasting kingdom, and his dominion is from generation to generation. Is that any less of a verse than Psalm 103, verse 19, which says, "The Lord has established his throne in heaven, and his kingdom rules over all"? Nebuchadnezzar honors God, he praises God, and he describes God's sovereignty to us. After Nebuchadnezzar has finished his story, he repeats, flip right over to verse 34. Verse 34. And at the end of the time, I, Nebuchadnezzar, lifted my eyes to heaven and my understanding returned to me. And I blessed the Most High and praised and honored him who lives forever. For his dominion is an everlasting dominion and his kingdom from generation to generation. Then skip to verse 37. Now I, Nebuchadnezzar, praise and extol and honor the King of heaven, all of whose works are truth and his ways justice. We'll stop there. Nebuchadnezzar says the Most High. He says the King of heaven is sovereign, is just and true. And can any of us as Christians give a better testimony to the living God than that? Nebuchadnezzar tells it to all. Fanny Crosby wrote, praise him, Jesus our blessed Redeemer. Sing, O earth, his wonderful love proclaim. Hail him, highest archangels in glory, strength and honor give to his holy name. Like a shepherd, Jesus will guard his children. In his arms he carries them all day long. Praise him, tell of his excellent greatness. Praise him, ever in joyful song. And Eliza Hewitt wrote, sing the wondrous love of Jesus. Sing his mercy and his grace in the mansions bright and blessed. He'll prepare for us a place. So in giving testimony to what God had done in these lives, in their lives, these hymn writers bring praise, honor, and describe our God, just like Nebuchadnezzar. Can't you see the stamp of a saved man in Nebuchadnezzar's life? Don't you want to follow him in praise and in testimony? The third feature of Nebuchadnezzar's praise and testimony for us to imitate is testify to God's blessing in our lives. Testify to God's blessing in our lives. So be prepared to tell anyone and everyone. Honor him, praise him, and describe his greatness to people and tell what God has done for us. Nebuchadnezzar said in verse 36, at the same time my reason returned to me. And for the glory of my kingdom, my honor and splendor returned to me. My counselors and nobles resorted to me. I was restored to my kingdom, and excellent majesty was added to me. Now, Nebuchadnezzar is not saying I did this. Nebuchadnezzar is saying that God did this for me, because verse 37 goes on to say, now I, Nebuchadnezzar, praise and extol and honor the King of heaven, all of whose works are truth and his ways justice. Doesn't that sound a bit like King David? We'll go into a little bit of Nebuchadnezzar's story later, but David in Psalm 40 and verse 1 wrote this. I waited patiently for the Lord, and he inclined unto me and heard my cry. He brought me up also out of the horrible pit, out of the miry clay, and set my feet upon a rock and established my goings. So both these men, Nebuchadnezzar and Daniel, are saying, God brought me up and out. I was down and out, but he brought me up and out. Of course, the greatest thing that God has done for us is salvation. Salvation in the Lord Jesus. And the hymn writers give us words to describe our salvation, as David suggested just a little while ago. Learn some of these hymns. They give expression to what God has done in our lives. James Rowe said, I was sinking deep in sin, far from the peaceful shore, very deeply stained within, sinking to rise no more. But the master of the sea heard my despairing cry, from the waters lifted me, now safe am I. We can relate to that story. John Peterson wrote, there will never be a sweeter story, story of the Saviour's love divine, love that brought him from the realms of glory, just to save a sinful soul like mine. Isn't the love of Jesus something wonderful? Oh, isn't the love of Jesus something wonderful? Wonderful it is to me. Charles Gabriel wrote, he took my sins and my sorrows, he made them his very own, he bore the burden to Calvary and suffered and died alone. How marvelous, how wonderful, and my song shall ever be, how marvelous, how wonderful is my Saviour's love for me. How can you tell the story of what God has done in your life? The fourth feature of Nebuchadnezzar's praise and testimony for us to imitate is be humble. Nebuchadnezzar was such a proud king. Flip back to verse 4. He says, I, Nebuchadnezzar, was at rest in my house and flourishing in my palace. And Daniel inserts this commentary into Nebuchadnezzar's letter, verse 28. And this came upon, and all this came upon King Nebuchadnezzar. At the end of 12 months, he was walking in the royal palace of Babylon. The king spoke, saying, "Is not this great Babylon that I have built for my royal dwelling by my mighty power for the honor of my majesty?" While the word was still in the king's mouth, a voice fell from heaven. "King Nebuchadnezzar, to you it is spoken, the kingdom has departed from you." But Nebuchadnezzar was humbled by what happened in his life, and he warns us in verse 37, at the end of his testimony, right at the end of verse 37, I left this out before, "And those who walk in pride, he is able to put down." Nebuchadnezzar saying, "I walked in pride, he put me down." And God is able to do this to others too. What I've left out of this chapter so far is the major evidence of his humility, that he would admit his sin and the derangement of his mind to all in his kingdom. No king of that time ever did such a thing. They always boasted of their great accomplishment. But Nebuchadnezzar puts himself down and lifts God up. He does not embellish his story in putting himself down. He just tells it like it is. Let's just read a little bit of this. Verse 5. "I saw a dream," Nebuchadnezzar's writing this letter, "I saw a dream which made me afraid, and the thoughts on my bed and the visions of my head troubled me. Therefore I issued a decree to bring on all the wise men of Babylon before me, that they might make known to me in the interpretation of the dream. Then the magicians, the astrologers, the Chaldeans, and the soothsayers came in, and I told them the dream, but they did not make known to me its interpretation. But at last Daniel came before me. His name is Belteshazzar, according to the name of my God," that is, my former God. "To him is the spirit of the holy God. In him is the spirit of the holy God. And I told the dream before him, saying, Belteshazzar, chief of the magicians, because I know that the spirit of the holy God is in you, and no secret troubles you, explain to me the visions of my dream that I have seen and its interpretation. These were the visions of my head while on my bed. I was looking, and behold, a tree in the midst of the earth, and its height was great. The tree grew and became strong. Its height reached to the heavens, and it could be seen to the ends of all the earth. Its leaves were lovely, its fruit abundant, and in it was food for all. The beasts of the field found shade under it. The birds of the heavens dwelt in its branches, and all flesh was fed from it. I saw in the visions of my head while on my bed that there was a watcher, a holy one," this is an angel, "coming down from heaven. He cried and said thus, 'Chop down the tree and cut off its branches, strip off its leaves and scatter its fruit. Let the beasts get under it and the birds from its branches. Nevertheless, leave the stump and roots in the earth bound with a band of iron and bronze in the tender grass of the field. Let it be wet with dew of heaven and let him graze." It's been talking about a tree and now it says let him graze. The tree is a man. "Let him graze with the beasts on the grass of the earth. Let his heart be changed from that of a man. Let it be given the heart of a beast, and let seven times that 7 years pass over him." Verse 17, "This is the decree of the watchers and the sentence by word of the holy ones, in order that the living may know that the Most High rules in the kingdom of men, gives it to whomever he will, and sets over it the lowest of men." And Nebuchadnezzar is writing this that we might know that he has been humble and is now the lowest of men. "This dream I, Nebuchadnezzar, have seen. Now you, Belteshazzar, declare its interpretation, since all the wise men of my kingdom are not able to make known to me the interpretation, but you are able, for the spirit of the holy God is in you." Then Daniel, whose name is Belteshazzar, was appointed for a time, was astonished for a time, and his thoughts troubled him. So the king spoke and said, "Belteshazzar, do not let the dream or its interpretation trouble you." He answered and said, My lord, may the dream concern those who hate you, and its interpretation concern your enemies. The tree that you saw, which grew and became strong, whose height reached the heavens, and which could be seen by all the earth." Let's skip down to 22. "It is you, O king, who have grown and become strong, for your greatness has grown and reaches to the heavens, and your dominion to the end of the earth. And inasmuch as the king saw a watcher, that is an angel, coming down from heaven and saying, 'Chop down the tree and destroy it,' go down to verse 24. This is the interpretation, O king, and this is the decree of the Most High, which has come upon my lord the king. They shall drive you from men. Your dwelling shall be with the beasts of the field, and they shall make you eat grass like oxen. They shall wet you with the dew of heaven, and 7 times shall pass over you, 7 years, till you know that the Most High rules in the kingdom of men and gives it to whomever he chooses. And inasmuch they gave the command to leave the stump and the roots of the tree, your kingdom shall be assured to you after you come to know that heaven rules. Therefore, O king, let my advice be acceptable to you. Break off your sins by being righteous and your iniquities by showing mercy to the poor. Perhaps they may be a lengthening of your prosperity. But King Nebuchadnezzar did not respond to Daniel's advice at the time. And then we read in verse 31. While the word was still in the king's mouth, this word of pride, a voice fell from heaven. King Nebuchadnezzar, to you it is spoken, the kingdom has departed from you, and they shall drive you from men, and your dwelling shall be in the beasts of the field, they shall make you eat grass like oxen. And so on. Verse 33, that very hour the word was fulfilled concerning Nebuchadnezzar. He was driven from men, ate grass like oxen, his body was wet with the dew of heaven, till his hairs had grown like eagle's feathers, and his nails like bird claws. Why would a proud king admit all that if he had not been humbled and believed? Nebuchadnezzar's testimony is powerful because it is humble. And so any testimony we give must not boast in ourselves, but must lift high the living God. Here's a summary for you. Testimony glorifies God, and praise is the best witness. Testimony glorifies God, and praise is the best witness. We cannot just give the facts if we're sharing the gospel with someone. We must lift high our God. Key words for our lives: praise and testimony. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we want to give you all the glory possible that our lips can bring to you. And we pray, dear Heavenly Father, as we continue this evening, we might be able to express in song and in word the great things that you have done for us. Thank you for saving us. Thank you for giving us hope in the Lord Jesus Christ. We have sung songs of heaven, which gives us a bright future. We see the light at the end of the tunnel. We know that you're coming back soon. We rejoice in you. We rejoice in your character. Thank you that as we gaze upon your kingly brightness, we come to gain your likeness. We become like you as we hold you true in our hearts. Bless you, Lord. Help us the rest of this evening. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.